When parents have a special needs child, there's a new normal in what life is going to look like for them. All of life has to be addressed around the needs of that son or that daughter. Here's Cindy Farini.
Even just taking a walk around the block, we couldn't do that when Joey was little. And you can't do that when you have little children anyway, but until he was about 25 or 26 years old, we did not venture out of the house unless there was someone to care for him, because we weren't certain that he would be fine. And so that puts a strain on the marriage in that you don't have the freedoms to come and go.
This is Family Life Today for Wednesday, July 1st. Our host is the president of Family Life, Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. How do you sustain a marriage when you're the parents of a special needs child? We'll talk with Joe and Cindy Farini about that today. Stay tuned. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. You know, we have friends who, mutual friends who have adopted children into their home who are special needs children, physical handicaps, mental handicaps, emotional special needs. And I've always looked at those parents with just a sense of awe.
Mm-hmm. Admiration.
What a courageous, bold choice for a family to make. I think to myself, put in the situation, would I make that call? And these are families that have done it on multiple occasions.
Right.
A special class of people, you know?
Yeah, and there's another class of people that don't choose but are given the same assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a couple who, well, 27 years ago, were given an assignment of taking care of a young lad who was mentally retarded and has cerebral palsy, and they've cared for him his whole life. And there are good friends, Joe and Cindy Farini, who speak at our Weekend to Remember Marriage conferences. Joe and Cindy, welcome back.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you so much, Dennis.
Just appreciate you guys and how you minister to couples all around the country. And you've been a part of a number of ministry outreaches in Cleveland. Joe, you're a dentist and kind of use that as a tent-making assignment so you can minister, and yet you have a ministry with your son that is quite amazing. Joey has got all kinds of struggles and challenges. I want to ask you a question that I don't think you quite answered on an earlier broadcast, and that is, what is your favorite Joey story? Now, Joey's 6'3".
Yes, yeah.
He's he can read about fourth grade level, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know both of you have to have great stories. Joe?
Yeah. Well, you know, Joey is he's quite the lover type guy. He just loves to know that you love him. Mm. And he needs to be reminded of that many times, as we all do, don't we? And I could be playing PlayStation with Joey, and just out of the clear blue sky, he'll touch my arm or he'll pull my cheek towards him, and he'll just say to me, "You love me?" Hmm. And I say, "Yeah, buddy, I love you." He said, "You my father always?" Hmm. "Always, buddy. Never changes. Never changes, Joey." And then he just gave me a big hug and a kiss and say, "Oh, Dad, I love you." And I just, you know, I think about that and I think, you know, I'm a blessed man. I mean, how many 27-year-old kids still hug and kiss their dad? And I get that every day. That's one of my favorite things about Joey is that he's real sensitive in terms of just the basics of life, just learning to love people and appreciating being loved.
Is there a particular PlayStation game that he likes?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Joey, he can actually do that thing pretty good.
Can he?
He really can. I mean, I'm really kind of surprised by it. And he does his Power Ranger and Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
He does that. When he gets to the football stuff, like Madden 2007 yeah. football, it's more like he watches me play. And I got to tell you, I got him pretty good at that game.
Are you?
Well, and the reason Joey is good at this is because we allow him to play it a lot.
Yeah.
And he's really mastered quite a bit of it.
And you allow him to play it a lot because?
Because it's really convenient.
Well, he enjoys it.
He enjoys it. He does. Yeah. You know, when parents would say to us, you know, I don't let my children watch very much TV, and I would not let them play these games, and we just say, plug them in and let them have a good time. You know, Joey doesn't understand a lot of different things. He understands what he enjoys, and we say, go ahead and enjoy it.
Yeah.
There's no reason to fight against it.
So what's your favorite Joey story, Cindy?
Well, I loved this one from when he was little. And I've always wondered if I'd have someone knocking at my door from social services or something after this story. But when the kids were little, I would, as they were going upstairs for their nap, I would be behind them kind of patting them on their rear ends, going up the stairs. And I'd say, I'm going to get upstairs before you. And Joey would say, don't beat me. Don't beat me. And if you could hear the way he said it, it just sounded like, you know, don't beat up on me.
Like you were doing real child abuse here.
That's right. And so, you know, those things never bothered me because I know what goes on in our home. But sometimes I think to myself, I wonder what other people might think if they were to hear that.
Well, he was talking about don't beat me upstairs.
Yeah, don't beat me up the stairs. I want to win. Don't beat me.
Yeah.
So he, you know, he makes life pretty fun.
Let me ask you guys about the two of you, because 27 years ago when the doctor said it's a boy, you knew life was going to change and you knew your marriage was going to change. But 2 years later, when the doctor said cerebral palsy and mental retardation, now you guys, your marriage is on a whole different course. Is there a unique struggle that married couples face when they are together parents of a special needs child?
Yes, when there are so many things that need to take place every day in caring for a child, we have realized that there isn't often time just for us. It might be in intimacy. It might be in a date night. Even just taking a walk around the block, we couldn't do that when Joey was little. And you can't do that when you have little children anyway, but until he was about 25 or 26 years old, we did not venture out of the house unless there was someone to care for him because we weren't certain that he would be fine. And so that puts a strain on the marriage in that you don't have the freedoms to come and go. You don't have the freedoms to even sometimes express yourself in front of the family, even in terms of disagreements. You know, our girls, we have taught our girls how to disagree by the way that we handle disagreements. The same situation put in front of Joey, he becomes pretty volatile. And so we have had to be very careful about things like that and yet being real to our children and what our marriage is and what we want them to learn from it.
So what do? You reschedule the disagreement for a later time to have your more spirited conversation?
Or we'll go to another room. And there are some things that we will not discuss in front of Joey just because of how he'll respond. And even things on television, although this is not in regards to marriage, even things on television, we have to be very careful what he watches because some things are too much, too much stimulus for him. But even in terms of marriage, there's things that we have had to let go of and maybe even have make some sacrifices for, and that is always keeping our bedroom door open. We have to be able to hear Joey. He's been on medication and has not had seizures for quite some time, but when he was little, we had to be able to hear if he were in distress at all. And even now, as a grown 27-year-old, he will make his way up the stairs and come and lay in bed with us if he's afraid during a thunderstorm. And that's a funny picture when you think of three adults laying in bed. But he's a 3-year-old in his mind or a 5-year-old in his mind. He's a young person. And so those are the kinds of things we didn't expect to be a part of our life.
Well, you know, and I don't want to get too graphic or ask a question that's inappropriate here, but in terms of intimacy, how in the world can you concentrate on one another at a moment like that?
Right. Well, that is an issue, and we have to plan ahead, to be quite honestly. You know, when Joey was, fatigue is really one of the biggest issues for most couples, why intimacy is a tough thing to try to really address in our marriage relationship. But when Joey was younger, he would get sick a lot. And when Joey would have a fever and he would spike in a fal, he would go into a grand mal seizure. And it was not unusual for Joey to have two or three grand mal seizures an hour. And sometimes that would go on for 24 hours. And clearly during those times, we were not having sex.
You were not having sleep. You were not having
I mean, I was so tired, I wasn't even thinking about
sex. Yeah, right.
Well, actually, I was thinking about it, but actually, I did not. We were not having it. But
that's a problem with being a man at that point, isn't it?
It doesn't go away.
Yeah.
You know? but you know, you have to, you know, thank God. He did. He always got better. He always recovered from his seizure activity. His fevers went away, and that was always a blessed time for us. And I couldn't recall one situation where Cindy, and this is the truth here, on this one scenario, is that it was a couple of days of just a lot of seizure activity from Joey. And so Cindy, you know, we were in the middle of this very romantic moment together, and Cindy does this to me. She says, "Did you hear that?" And I said, "Did I hear what?" She said, "I think I hear Joey." And I said, "Joey who?" Because just, you know, we're just
do really... I even have a son at that moment?
Joey, yeah, what?
I've got two questions for you guys. First of all, if you had to give a couple a piece of advice, or maybe two pieces of advice, who find themselves in a caretaking situation, maybe it's a child, maybe it's a parent, but some piece of advice that you've practiced or you've employed or you have found to be incredibly energizing in your marriage, what would that be? Cindy?
Well, I think for any young couple, when they have the pressures that there are in caring for someone 24/7, they need to be able to have, first of all, good communication with their spouse. I think that would be one piece of advice that I would say, pamper that. Take time. It may not be like your friends who are going out to dinner at whatever time they want to when it's free and easy for them. It's maybe having a cup of coffee on your deck or back porch where you can just sit and talk about the things that are important to you. If you don't have communication, the rest of the things are going to be pretty hard to work through. And so I think that's the most important thing. And then even beyond the relationship of marriage, I think it's very important to have very solid relationships, not only with the people that you work with, like doctors, and in some cases it might be physical therapists and so forth, but teachers. Get to know your teachers well so that you get to know what your child is doing, so that you can discuss that in your marriage, so that both of you know what's going on. And then to have good friendships. You know, not everybody is going to embrace the life that we have. And we have a number of friends who probably don't really understand what we deal with day to day, and that's okay. And we have close family that probably don't understand what we deal with day to day. But the Lord has always provided people in our lives to be friends with us, to be able to be good listeners, And that goes back to the communication aspect as well. Our husbands cannot meet all of our needs, and I, as a wife, will not meet all of my husband's needs. So we need relationships that will help us to pursue caring for this person and just having fun. You know, I need girlfriends that I can laugh with, that I can go to lunch with on occasion. And we can't always go when our friends go together places. But we haven't been neglected there either.
This question is going to sound almost unthinkable to even ask it. But I have to imagine that you've had the thought, it would be merciful of God to take Joy home or to take me home. Have you ever prayed?
Absolutely. I can remember one night. It's humorous now to look back because I've seen the faithfulness of God over all these years. But in those desperate places, I can remember one night going to bed totally exhausted, and I think we had three children at the time. We at least had two. I know we at least had two. And I remember going to bed thinking, there is nothing fun about this day. There is nothing fun about this life. There is nothing in it that is of any joy to me right now. And Lord, if you would want to take me home right now, I know that Joe could marry another woman and she could deal with this. And I woke up the next morning and realized that the person who was to be the one to do this was me. And that didn't change overnight in terms of there being more joy or there being less work, but you develop each step of the way a different attitude to deal with what you've been given. And I think when it comes to Joey, my prayer is that the Lord would take Joey before he would take me, because I want to be the one to care for him. If that's one day before I die, that's fine. But I hope we don't have ever to have him living with someone else. And even though our daughters have been very agreeable, not because we've asked, but because they've offered to take Joey. But I'm really hoping that we can care for him until we're old, and that maybe somewhere along the way God would be gracious and allow for him to meet Jesus before we do.
It might be good to share the impact that raising Joey has had on Christina and her decision in terms of criteria for her husband. Maybe share that story to maybe help address.
Can you share it?
Could I share it? Well, yeah, I could, but Cindy does it so much better than I do.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead.
One night at dinner, Joe was working, and Christina was asking me a question about some friends of ours who were divorcing. And we knew the difficulties that they had been through, and she was 12 years old at the time, and I couldn't share the difficulties. They were private, and I was sharing with her just that there's times in marriage that sometimes people don't feel they can get over the very serious nature of whatever their issues are. And she looked at me, and I began to see the puzzle pieces maybe coming together in her head, realizing that we have a crisis in our home, and that is our son. And she looked at me, and she said, "Mom, what are you going to do someday with Joey?" And I said, "Honey, you do not have to worry about that, because God will take care of it. And Joey was entrusted to us, not to you. And so if God wants for you to have any part in Joey's care later, that will be fine. But that isn't something for you to be concerned about now." And she said, "Well, I just want you to know, Mom, I would like to take Joey someday." And I said, "Well, you don't know if you will marry a man who will want to have Joey." And she said, "Why would I marry him?" I don't know about anybody else, but at 12 years old, that wasn't the line of thinking that I recall having. And she's never wavered from that. And even though both of them love Joey, she and her husband, and also our youngest daughter, Kathleen, as well, they all love him, and I know they're willing to take care of him. And if that's the Lord's plan, we're fine with that. But I really sense that God has used Joey to allow our girls to have a different purpose in life, a different way of looking at life than others might have. And I think they're just two lovely young ladies who have really grown to love other people with the same unconditional love that they have extended to Joey.
You know, we started this conversation by talking about a passage of Scripture, Romans 8:28, that to those who love God, all things do work together for good. And they work together for God's purposes. And your story really points out that's the case. Not only that you as individuals better understand love, but your marriage has a solid commitment that has withstood a gale force storm, and your family has learned lessons that could not be learned in any book, in any training conference, around life and around trusting God and reality and growing up, as you just shared about your daughter. And to that person who's listening right now who's facing similar challenges, it is about finishing today and then trusting God again tomorrow.
That's right.
And not giving up and not tossing the towel in. And Joe, Cindy, I just want to thank both of you for the model of faith, commitment, and love that you've demonstrated to our listeners and undoubtedly to your community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for writing the book, too. Thanks for speaking at our Weekend to Remember conferences and for bringing Joey along with you to some of those conferences and being able to meet him. And I know that putting all your thoughts down on paper for the book Unexpected Journey was a long process, but it's going to help a lot of parents. And in fact, we've got it in our Family Life Today Resource Center. If our listeners are interested in getting a copy of the book, they can go to our website, familylifetoday.com, and the information about the book Unexpected Journey is available there. Again, the website is familylifetoday.com. You can order from us online if you'd like, or you can call toll-free 1-800-358-6329, 1-800 F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. I don't know if the two of you have gotten a copy of the book that Dennis's wife Barbara and his daughter Rebecca wrote recently called A Symphony in the Dark, but we'll make sure we pass along a copy of that to you before you leave today. We have that book in our Family Life Today Resource Center as well. And we want to encourage our listeners, if you know someone who has lost a child or a grandchild recently, Barbara and Rebecca's book will speak powerfully and profoundly to those parents or to those grandparents. You can order the book, A Symphony in the Dark, by going to our website, familylifetoday.com, or you can call toll-free 1-800-FL-TODAY, and someone on our team will let you know how we can make arrangements to have a copy of that book sent to you. Oftentimes when we experience challenges or trials or we go through a season of suffering in life, one of the issues we have to wrestle with is the issue of forgiveness, especially if the trial or the circumstance is because of some way that someone harmed us or wronged us. We had an opportunity not long ago to sit down with Nancy Lee DeMoss to talk about the subject of forgiveness. She's written a book called Choosing Forgiveness, and we spent some time probing the practical and spiritual implications of this important subject. And this month, we'd like to make a copy of the CD of that conversation with Nancy Lee DeMoss available to any of our listeners who will help support the Ministry of Family Life Today with a donation of any amount. We are listener-supported, and so when you help support Family Life Today, what you're really doing is making sure that Family Life Today can continue on this station and on other stations all across the country. And we appreciate your financial support and your partnership with us. If you're able to make a donation and you'd like to receive the CD from Nancy Lee DeMoss, type the word FORGIVE into the key code box on the online donation form as you fill it out at familylifetoday.com, or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. You can make your donation over the phone and just ask for the CD with Nancy Lee DeMoss or the CD on forgiveness. Again, we're happy to pass it along to you. And we so much appreciate you joining with us financially and helping to support this ministry. Now, tomorrow we want to encourage you to be back as we're going to hear a portion of a message that was shared recently at a seminary chapel on the campus of Dallas Theological Seminary as Johnny Erickson Tada talked about how we understand suffering from a biblical perspective. And Johnny has a unique perspective on the subject of suffering that comes from more than three decades of being in a wheelchair as a quadriplegic. Hope you can be back with us as we hear that message tomorrow. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, and our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We will see you tomorrow for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.